I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Monday, November 24th. No one was hurt in a house fire in Quincy on Saturday night. Flames broke out in the living room of the home at 292 Billings Road in North Quincy just before midnight. Firefighters confined the blaze to the living room, and all the occupants, including a family dog, escaped safely. The cause of the fire is under investigation. A 36-year-old man is charged with trying to break into a car in a Wollaston neighborhood on Saturday night. Police say the man attempted to get into a vehicle parked at Hamilton and Safford Streets just after 7 p.m. The car alarm scared the suspect off, but he was apprehended near the Stop and Shop and identified by a witness as the man who tried to get into the vehicle. He faces arraignment in Quincy District Court today. Power is back on in Braintree after a major outage last night. Most of the town lost electricity at around 6:30 when a transmission line malfunctioned. A large portion of Braintree and some surrounding towns were impacted by the outage, which took about 2 hours for Braintree Electric Light Department workers to repair. The Whitman police are investigating an armed robbery that took place at the CVS on Bedford Street last night. Happened just after 7 p.m. Officers responded to a report of an armed robbery at the CVS at 351 Bedford Street, which is Route 18. Upon arrival, a store clerk informed the officers that the suspects had entered the store and the woman began placing items into a bag. When confronted by an employee, the male suspect displayed a handgun, prompting the employee to retreat to an office and call 911. Suspects fled the scene in the direction of a nearby McDonald's, and despite a search of the area, they were not located. No injuries were reported. Whitman police are asking anybody with information to contact them. Well, the case of the Quincy mayor's proposed pay raise is back in court today. A scheduling conference will be held in Norfolk Superior Court in Dedham today at 2 p.m. A judge will hear the case brought by Quincy Citizens for Fair Raises, challenging the city's contention that they failed to gather enough signatures to put a question on this year's ballot about the raise. The city claims that the group fell over 800 signatures short of the required number for the ballot question, but the citizens group says the city failed to use the printed names to verify the voter signatures, which is allowed by law. The city contends it followed the proper procedures. Today, both parties will tell the judge what witnesses they intend to call, the length of the proceedings, and any stipulations or logistics that may need to be addressed. The court will first decide if the citizens gathered enough signatures for the ballot question, and then decide if the question is legal. The city contends that state law supersedes the city charter and that the proposed ballot question is illegal. The question would ask voters if they want to roll back the mayor's annual salary from $285,000 to $183,000 with 2% annual raises. The mayor has said he will ask the new city council next year to decrease the salary to $225,000 with 3% annual raises. The new salary would take effect in 2028. Now, the MBTA's long-running effort to replace its red and orange line fleets facing renewed schedule pressures this fall, with transit officials highlighting a recent shift toward more consistent red line production as the orange line order nears its finish line. Shipments of Chinese-manufactured train shells have slowed in recent months, in part because of ongoing federal forced labor reviews, contributing to delays that pushed the builder past a September delivery deadline for the Orange Line. Although the federal reviews have introduced uncertainty into the supply chain, MBTA leaders say the broader fleet replacement program continues to move forward, supported by a production strategy that now places greater emphasis on keeping red line deliveries on track. So far, the T has received 58 new red line cars, with two more expected in December. Those vehicles, part of a 252-car replacement fleet, are running years behind schedule. The project originated under Governor Deval Patrick's administration in 2014 and has been buffeted by repeated manufacturing setbacks and underwent a major contract reset last year that waived some penalties, lifted the contract's value above $1 billion, and set a new completion deadline of late 2027. MBTA spokesman Joe Pesatoro says the agency continues to work closely with CRRC in Massachusetts to keep the production line moving at the Springfield plant and to ensure that each shipment of car shells is accompanied by the necessary documentation required by U.S. Customs officials. And a bright spot for the state's climate agenda during a year marked by stalled clean energy projects, the long-delayed transmission line that will deliver Canadian hydropower to New England is on track to send 1,090 megawatts of electricity into Massachusetts by the end of this year. Avangrid, the developer of the New England Clean Energy Connect project, announced last week that the Maine Department of Environmental Protection approved the last required permit to bring hydropower into the region from Hydro-Québec. Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs Rebecca Tepper confirmed that timeline, answering yes when asked at the State House if the project will be completed by the end of the year. It will unlock a piece of the state's clean energy strategy nearly a decade after lawmakers first authorized the procurement of large-scale hydropower in 2016. The project's breakthrough comes as other pillars of the state's climate plan face delay after delay. Offshore wind contracts remain in limbo due to federal permitting freezes under the Trump administration and unstable power purchase agreements. Interconnection bottlenecks continue to stall new solar and storage projects. And two major offshore wind projects, South Coast Wind and New England Wind, remain stuck in regulatory uncertainty. Only Vineyard Wind 1 is currently delivering power. According to Avangrid, the hydropower could reduce regional carbon emissions by up to 3.6 million metric tons per year, the equivalent of removing 700,000 cars from the road. Company estimates $3 billion in net benefits for Massachusetts ratepayers. That translates into monthly bill reductions of roughly $1.50 for many households. Campaigns backing at least 10 of the 44 filed ballot proposals in Massachusetts believe they're still in the running to make it onto the 2026 ballot. The majority of petitions have died before the election year even begins. Supporters of rent control, improving public records access, reducing the income tax, starter home construction, and all-party primaries are among proposals still in the mix. Voters will not get to weigh in on the majority of those proposals, including ones that would have enabled incarcerated people with felony convictions to vote, allowed some employees otherwise ineligible for paid family and medical leave benefits to choose to pay into the program, and enabled voters to initiate recall elections to remove elected officials from office. Campaigns supporting the measures told the State House News Service that they didn't collect enough signatures by last Wednesday's deadline. Others that didn't hit the mark include proposals to cap residential and commercial property tax increases, require a person to be present in all Massachusetts-registered autonomous vehicles when they transport passengers, services, or goods, and to require companies that design, manufacture, or install digital, internet, or wireless technology or services to make design choices that reduce electromagnetic radiation exposure. Morris Maury Casso, 108 years old, from Canton, formerly of Sharon and Roxbury, died peacefully on November 16th, according to his family. Casso is believed to be the oldest living World War II veteran in Massachusetts and among the oldest in the country. He enlisted in the Army just a few months after the attack on Pearl Harbor After completing basic training at Fort Devens, he was assigned to the United States Army Signal Corps, where he became part of a small elite specialist group that learned about the new Audion vacuum tube, a device capable of amplifying and modulating electromagnetic signals and the transmission of radio frequency signals. His unit was responsible for establishing safe frequency channels for their aircraft. Maury is survived by his wife, son, stepchildren, 9 grandchildren, and 11 great-grandchildren, numerous nieces and nephews, many more family and friends who loved him dearly. Check of business news. This morning, stocks are higher. The Dow rose 493 points on Friday. The NASDAQ is up 195, and the S&P added 64. Asian stocks mostly higher. The dollar rose. The euro is up. Oil at $58 a barrel. Sports. Patriots beat the Bengals 26-20. The Bruins lose to San Jose 3-1. They'll wrap up their road series Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in New York against the Islanders. And the Celtics beat Orlando 138-129. They'll be back home in Boston Wednesday night 5 against Detroit. Today's forecast from the National Weather Service. A slight chance of some showers, otherwise partly cloudy, high of 48 degrees. For tonight, cloudy and a low 29. Mainly cloudy tomorrow, the high of 52. Some showers move in overnight Tuesday into Wednesday, but mild on Wednesday with high around 60 degrees. Thursday on Thanksgiving Day, partly sunny, high 46. For the boater, waves about 2 feet. Northwesterly winds, 10 to 15, gusting to 20. High tide, 1:40 p.m. Sunrise, 6:45. Sets at 4:15. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Monday, November 24th.